ground control to Major Tom.
Staunton wriggling his way to the post and right on the post. There are three there. It must be a try. Yes, it is. A second try for John Kelly. Now it's all there for the taking as Gloucester pick themselves up from underneath their own post. Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This is Crotty. Oh yes, O'Gara is in! Another lead for Munster, and what a magnificent try!
Check ignition.
Fully controlled, oh, straight on! Now there will be no greater place in Munster history than the one reserved for the man who scores the special individual try.
Tom Savage of Three Red Kings. Tom, Munster team out today to take on Ulster. I suppose, look, we've said it before, we're in need of a bounce back from a poor opening, I suppose, an inconsistent opening 4 weeks of the Pro 14. A decent Munster side out, and I, for one, am looking forward to Albie Mathewson and Joey Carberry. But we have Mike Haley at 15, Conway on 14, Dan Goggin at 13 with Rory Scanlon inside him, and Keith Earls on the other wing. Carberry and Mathewson at the halfback pairing. Stander, O'Donnell, O'Mahony, Holland, Byrne, Archer, Scannell and Kilcoyne. Kevin O'Byrne, James Cronin, Kieran Parker, Jean Klein, Arno Botha, Duncan Williams, Ian Keatley and Sammy Arnold on the bench. So, you know, we've never really come out and said that Munster have fielded a weak side at any point in this Pro 14 so far, which is testament to the amount of depth that they have in that squad now. But inconsistent, Tom, is what they've been.
Very inconsistent. And I think that, you know, for Munster in this game, you look at the combinations that they've gone with again. Tadhg Byrne starts again with Peter O'Mahony, so we're going to see a similar line-out to last week. Billy Holland is back in. He's a fellow who helped the line-out immensely. Niall Scanlon is straight back into the team as well because he's a very important part of that Heineken Cup squad. You know, this is a Munster side that are looking for fluency. And fluency and consistency will only come when you have time in the pitch together. So it's no real surprise to see Munster going for the big setup they've got again. Another game for CJ Stander, another game for Peter O'Mahony, another game for Tadhg Byrne, Joey Carberry, and of course Albie Mathewson, who's in there as well. You know, the big games are coming up soon. Ulster have gone with we'll just call it a reduced looking side in the aftermath of their tour to South Africa. So, you know, it's all there for Munster to go for. With the squad that's out and that they've named, you should be left me looking at a Munster win in this one. But, I mean, you know, they need to get that fluency from somewhere and they need to get it quick. So no real surprise to see the team named that's been named.
Yeah, Tom, an Ulster side who are on the back of that trip back from South Africa. But, you know, much can be made of that travel time. And it, we saw that, I suppose, Munster had paid for that trip last year when they had the Champions Cup semi-final the week after they returned. But, you know, Munster are coming back into a Pro 14 derby at a time of the season where players should still be relatively fresh. So Munster would be really... extremely naive if they were to rely on that as a factor of getting them across the line. They're going to face a stern test on Saturday evening.
Oh, they will. Look, I mean, the team that Ulster have named out here, you know, you've got John Cooney, Billy Burns, you've got Craig Gilroy, who's a guy who's always liable to score against Munster. Ian Henderson, look, any side that's got Ian Henderson in their pack is going to be competitive, you know. And you've got Nick Timoney and John Bissell, two guys who I like quite a bit. Ulster are coming to town. You know, they're off the back of a relatively successful South African tour. I know they drew their last game. But, you know, at the same time, I'm surprised not to see Rory Best put back in at this stage. Ulster do have a fair few injuries. Marcel Coetzee, Sean Reedy, I believe. Jacob Stockdale is still in the shelf for them. You know, so it's a bit disappointing Ulster, I think, not to have come down that little bit stronger. But with the side they have out there, look, they'll take a bit of beating. And you know, it won't be a case of turn up and roll over. That certainly won't be the case here. And Munster drew this fixture last year at home to Ulster. So, look, they need to get this win. And they certainly look like they've got a selection out there that could do just that. You know, there's everywhere I'd look to attack Ulster, Munster have gone strong.
Where exactly do you think Munster will attack their...
Well, when you look at the way that Ulster have go about their defensive setup in particular, Dan McFarland has brought in a very aggressive edge to their defence, and they seem to be pressing very high, especially off flank rocks. When they have a big open side to defend, you'll see them stepping up very, very hard. They've been a little bit vulnerable to teams playing around that blitz. Munster have gone with Joey Carberry and Rory Scannell at 10 and 12. They've also got a big hitter in Dan Goggin at 13, who's a guy who is an underrated player, I think. He has great physicality, good pace, good hands. He's a fellow who I think can really slot in there and do some damage, especially in that 10, 12, 13 axis that Ulster have put down here. This isn't the biggest backline Ulster have ever put out there. And I think that if you look at Munster looking to get some runners, especially off set piece like lineout, they can have a real impact against Burns, Curtis, Cave, young Angus Carnahan is a guy, great pace, but he's a guy who I think that we're looking to get after one way or the other. Craig Gilroy, of course, is a guy who is very, very talented going forward. He's a guy who, you know, people have targeted again and again with kicks into the backfield. He's a guy who can be got at there. Peter Nelson is a decent player as well, but Munster will be looking to test him as well. And no better guys than Andrew Conway and Keith Earls to get after him and, you know, really, really put the pressure on. This will be on, a lot will be on Albie Matheson's plate early on in this game. We're going to see Munster playing off nine quite a bit, I would say, here, and giving Carberry and Scannell a chance to get at Ulster on that open side. You know, you're looking at, you know, when I've seen Ulster against Scarlets and when I saw them against Cheetahs, that area around 10 and 12, especially off set piece, and especially when they were forced to defend on a big open side, the alignment and they were giving up dog legs, they were giving up spacings. Ulster, I thought, cluster a little bit around the ruck as well. So I'd be looking to, you know, for Munster to try a few of those little, you know, a few of those little schemes that we've seen hints of in the last four games, where they've been trying little bits and pieces around the ruck to try and catch teams who want to go drift out too far or drift out too fast. But you know, it all comes down to accuracy. Can Munster attack with the kind of accuracy that they'll need to break down this Ulster side? We've shown in the last two home games they can certainly score tries, but this will be a step up again from the Cheetahs and from the Ospreys. You know, Ian Henderson, John Bissell, Adam McBurney is a guy who not a lot of people would know about, but he's just going to be a serious player, I think. John Cooney is an absolutely outstanding scrum half, and he's a guy who will kick points for Ulster all through the all over the pitch. And it doesn't matter if it's the first minute or the 80th minute. He's a reliable goal kicker. So if Munster start giving up position to these lads, Ulster will punish, especially with John Cooney. Alan O'Connor is a reliable lineout guy, big physical lad. Look, this will not be a stroll in the park, not by any means. Munster will really have to put a marker down here. I think Munster can go after them in the scrum. I think that's something where Munster will definitely look to target. Again, that's why I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't seen Rory Best back in here, especially with Rob Herring being injured. I think that we'll see Munster going for them there, much like that Munster did in the first half in Ravenhill last season. That second half didn't end well, but if Munster can duplicate that sort of maul and scrum dominance in this game, they'll surely see it out and surely see it in a way that could be a big home win.
Albie Matheson, a guy who we've been waiting to see for a while now since we had the visa issues on his being cleared to play. How important is he in Munster? I know he's only a loanee signing in a short-term deal, but how important is it that we see form from him early if Munster are to get the full use from him?
Oh, vital. Look, Mathieson has been brought in to do a very specific job, a very specific role over the course of these 4 months of his contract. I think Munster would be looking to get him in as the, you know, the stand-in partner for Joey Carberry up until Conor Murray is fit to take his spot in that Munster starting 15 again. Mathieson and Carberry have to get that relationship in quickly. Carberry is a guy, if you give him the right service, he will flourish. And this is the same with every team, really. But when you're looking at a team that are looking to play the way Munster are playing, we need to get reliability, we need to get pace if we were to see Munster playing that way. A couple of times last week against Cardiff, we saw pace, but we didn't see accuracy in the pass. And that just added slow, it's a slow down Munster's attack. You know, we mentioned it earlier in the week about how Josh Navidi got a big statement hit on Jack O'Tota. But that all came about because the pass was inaccurate. Tota had to slow down and stop to take it and then got nailed with, you know, he didn't have momentum, couldn't win the collision. And that was it. But that came from halfback. Mathieson has to come in and, you know, it sounds like it's a very, you know, like a very complex thing he has to do. But sometimes the scrum job is quite simple. I remember reading an interview with Aaron Smith, the All Blacks scrum half, a couple of weeks ago. And his job is very simple. He's told, get into the ruck, get the ball away. And that's it. Everything else will come with your basics as required. If there's box kicking that needs to be done, box kick it. We haven't done that an awful lot this season so far. I wouldn't expect we'll do an awful lot here bar certain circumstances. But if Mathieson can get good ball presentation, which in fairness, Duncan Williams did not get last week on the whole. If he can get good ball presentation, front foot possession, and if he can be quick and accurate with his service, Joey Carberry can have a great game, as will Rory Scannell, as will Mike Haley, as will all these lads who are going to be looking to run off the work of these guys, the likes of Keith Earl, the likes of Andrew Conway. But if he takes a bit of time to settle in and there's a little bit of a hitch in his pass and a little bit of a slowness in his tempo, that's going to come back and that's going to be an active problem for Munster in this game. They need to have reliability because I think this is a guy who they've brought in who's going to cover that spot in the Champions Cup or the Heineken Cup or whatever it's called these days. He's been brought in to cover that spot up until Conor Murray is fit to return. So we need to see, and there's no surprise to see him put in there straight away with Joey Carberry today. Joey Carberry is getting a lot of game time early on in this season because we need to get him fit in with the squad around him and get people used to him and how he likes to play the game and how he likes to run things at 10. But he needs to get a halfback in there who he can get a relationship with because, as Johan van Hoorn alluded to earlier this week, you need to have that fluency and you need to have that relationship between halfback, you know, between 9 and 10. If you don't have that, it doesn't mean that things won't work, but it's more of a lottery. And Munster can't have a lottery this time of the season, especially coming up with Leinster on the horizon, Ulster this weekend, and Exeter in 2 weeks' time.
Tom, just some of the technicalities about getting that ball away from the base of the ruck. Obviously, the forwards play a huge role in presenting that ball as cleanly as they can and controlling and limiting the disruption from the opposition at ruck time. But, you know, I think sometimes scrum halves, they tend to take a step with the ball passing. You know, if you're... think back to Peter Stringer's playing career. When he got to the base of the ruck, the ball was whipped off the base of the... There was no step, there was no... It was like a perpetual motion machine in that he got to the ruck, got the ball away, got to the next ruck, got the ball away. Now, you know, I think sometimes scrum halves and coaches can overcomplicate it sometimes that the best kind of ruck ball is quick ruck ball. You know, that you really, it's the speed of the ball that allows that back line to get that little bit of an advantage in tight games. And I just think some modern scrum half play, they just spend too much time at the base of the ruck waiting for things to get set up, and it results in stalemate for the most part.
Yeah, well, look, my preference always is speed and tempo on the ball. I know some scrum halves like to run a small little line or a small little step off the ruck to see if they can catch the pillar defender Or we'll say if the pillar defender is the A defender, the B defender is the guy next to him who generally targets the scrum half when the scrum half is looking to dart around the side of the ruck. Sometimes they'll take that step to see if they can get those guys leaning heavy onto one foot or squaring up or sitting down on their feet in you know to prepare for a tackle, and then looking to try and break elsewhere to, just to create a space in the line. Sometimes they can do that. But I agree with you in that there's a lot of space and time that some scrum halves can tend to take a little bit too long waiting for the perfect setup on the outside. You know, sometimes I think that there's real credit in playing with tempo. And again, Joey Carberry, if you look at his reset speed after any phase, he's always in position. Get that fella the ball quick, and he's a guy who will make things happen. So I wouldn't expect lightning quick ball from Albie Matheson, but I would expect good decisions. And a guy like him to use his experience to be where the ball's going to be where the ruck is going to land, so he can be in there ready to go and, you know, cause a break himself. And then run those support lines that we've seen him run far too long against Munster in that European Champions Cup quarterfinal last year. You know, this is the kind of stuff that he's been brought in to do. He's experienced. He's composed. If he can bring that experience and that composure to this game on Saturday night, then look, Munster will already be a long way to getting the job done.
Yeah, and of course, look, there's no. I'm not trying to take away from scrum halves who are trying to pick off a lazy defender on the edge of the ruck, you know. But I just think that that's fine. But if you're going to go for those breaks, you have to make them, because if you don't, and if you do shovel the ball out, all you've done is give the defensive midfield, an opportunity to put a hit on somebody outside. So you know, it's a gamble, but I suppose like all gambles, there's the risk and reward.
Exactly. There's a whole saying of don't shovel your problem onto somebody else. And that goes especially true when it's a scrum half and it's on a rugby pitch. So it's one of those ones where, you know, good ball begets good decisions further out the pitch, but you've got to have your scrum half, you know, making the right decisions in the first place to get that ball out there and be where he's supposed to be. It's going to be exciting to see Matheson, because I think he's a guy with his experience and the teams who he's played with, and, you know, the All Blacks tend not to cap a lot of mugs, especially five times. So he's a guy who I'm excited to see him slotting in and see how he, you know, because he should have a decent enough fluency with Munster. He's been training away for the last while. So he should be coming in practically ready to go.
Tom, speaking of scrum halves, and one scrum half that you have written an excellent article on in the Limerick Post and Sporting Limerick during the week is Conor Murray and the injury update, lack of update, or the appetite for information on it. Tom, I have to say I do wholeheartedly agree with your stance on it. You know, Conor Murray has a neck injury. He is recovering, and, you know, Munster hope to see him back in action whenever. Like, I think, you know, sometimes media and fans can almost have a sense of entitlement as to what they are, what they want to know about players. And I think what ends up is that the organization, be it Munster or anyone else, gets sick of being asked the same questions, and they kind of dig their heels in, and they're inclined to give less information. And I think that's what you've had here. And you know, look, he's got a neck injury. We're just going to have to take. We take Munster at their word for that, and I don't think that there's I don't see a story in it beyond that.
Well, no, look, I should admit my bias here in this, in that I have no interest in players who aren't currently playing for Munster. You know, when they're back for me, because, you know, you don't want to get into a situation where you're actively worrying about a professional rugby player, will he be back next week or the week after? There's other guys who are going to be playing. And for me, you know, the whole drama about when will they be back? For me, they'll be back when they'll be back. And, you know, ultimately when they're out, when I see them lining out for Munster on a match day 23 or named in a match day squad, that's when I can consider them, you know, when I consider them an active part. But, you know, when a guy is injured, for me, sometimes I find the over-analysis of guys' injuries to be a little bit too much. And this goes for media. And, you know, we can talk about media like we're not part of the media, but we are in a way. And, you know, the media environment as a whole, I think, can hype up a guy like Conor Murray, him playing or not playing. Yes, he is vitally important to Munster and Ireland. and you know he's got contract negotiations underway right now. I would imagine if they're not underway, they're close to being underway about that new deal. So him being injured is, you know, a bit like the way Paul O'Connell used to be. If he was injured, people would be worrying and fretting about it. And but for me, I think that a player's injury status, and you know, with regards to you know whether or not he's going to be fit to play or whatever else, that is completely up to him whether or not he wants to have that information released. It's been a courtesy to date that clubs have released these sort of players. Like, as in, you know, people look at it for Munster, they're a professional rugby player, that comes with the territory. But I'm just like, does it come with the territory? It's only just because it always has been that it is. I mean, players are employees. They have a right to their data, and they have a right to, you know, if you, I mean, how far do you go? I mean, you know, I don't want to be, you know, looking at the details of a guy's injury. If Munster have said that it's a neck injury, and it is, and Conor Murray has to recover from it in whatever way, he's taking partial contact, apparently, according to Van Tron during the week, but with a neck injury, first of all, they can be very vague at times. Neck injuries, as in the time frame on recovery, can be very, very vague. Sometimes it can be, how do you feel today? How do you, okay, we'll see how you feel in 2 days' time. Sometimes there isn't a set timetable on there. And they go on, well, okay, you should be okay by this time or whatever else. But Munster as an organisation, let's just say that Conor Murray hadn't requested his information to stay private, as Van Tron confirmed this week as what had happened. Let's just say that Munster were not in a position to reveal a time frame because he didn't have an exact time frame. Look at the injury that Tyler Blaendahl had. Initially, he was supposed to be on the out for I think it was 2 or 3 months with a neck injury, but he hasn't been back since. And, you know, and if Munster are giving out things, and I've had, you know, angry contacts from people on Twitter regarding, oh, why are Munster saying times that are wrong? Because players' bodies don't recover to a schedule. You know, like look at Chris Farrell. He was initially slated to be back for the start of this season. Then it was around October, and now it's around December because knee injuries are a bother. And they do not listen to, well, Wikipedia says you're supposed to recover from this in 6 months. It's not as simple as that. So when I look at Conor Murray deciding, you know what, I don't want to reveal my neck injury or the details of what it is or the return time frame that's on it, that's up to him. And you might not like it. You might want to know what it is, but just because you want to know something doesn't mean that you can know. You know, it's a bit like knowing exactly how much the players are paid. You might feel as a paying patron into Thomond Park that you're entitled to know how much a guy is paid. But in reality, if you walk into a SuperValue and just because you shop there doesn't mean that you're entitled to know what the manager of SuperValue is making. And I think that once you stop looking at these players as being, you know, iconic rugby stars who are, you know, get to play rugby and get to live this dream job, and start looking at them as employees and people, really, who are just going about their business and who are just trying to live their lives, ask yourself this. In your place of work, if somebody was to walk in and say, I'm a customer, I want to know your medical details. Why were you out of work last week? You're my favorite server in this restaurant, for example. Why weren't you here last week? When will you be back? And then you go, well, I'll be back when I'm back. I'm out at the moment because I'm sick or whatever. And they go, what are you sick with? You can go. Don't talk to me. I don't want to know, you know, this is none of your business. And while we're used to getting all the information that we want about a rugby player, this isn't the norm. And I don't think it will be the norm going forward, where players will want to just protect themselves. And look, and you can say revealing information will, oh, well, if they just tell us what it is, then what that will do is everybody will know then and all the speculation will stop. As I wrote in the Limerick Post this week, ask Paul O'Connell. He was out in around 2010. He had an issue with his groin. He had to get injections in there. I believe he had to get an IV at one point as well because there was an infection in there. And he lost a lot of weight. And a forum for Munster fans or Munster fans on a forum rather began speculating, or one poster began speculating, that he actually had a very serious illness. Now, he had no illness whatsoever. And even though Munster had revealed exactly what the nature of the injury was and what he was doing, people were still looking for another answer. So when you say, or when when I see articles in the press and when I hear people saying, oh, well, if Munster just revealed, you know, all the details of what was wrong with Conor Murray, there would be no speculation. That is absolutely not true. And it's absolutely not the way that people work. If a guy is important enough and people aren't happy with the explanation that is there, they will look for conspiracy and they will look for something else. And in this case, if Conor Murray doesn't want to reveal his injury, just like Jamie Heaston didn't want to do, that's completely on him. And you might not like it, but you have to respect it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, Tom. And I suppose, look, Conor Murray will be back when he'll be back. And we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, I, for one, I'm looking forward to seeing him back in that red jersey. Tom, what have you got coming up? I know it's a short turnaround between now and tomorrow evening, but is there anything on... Of course there is. And what am I saying? On the Three Red Kings Patreon page that people should be taking advantage of before the Munster game?
There is. Today, later on today, I will have the Red Eye for this Ulster game coming up, as well as the Blood and Thunder Match APB podcast, where I'll be getting into some of the more detailed tactical aspects of this game, what Munster has to look at, where they can attack, how they can attack, and how this game is likely to go. That's on patreon.com/3RedKings, which is €2 a month.